This morning, turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. You know, during the Christmas season, which we designate as a Christmas season, normally about the same time Walmart does, we preachers, we start preaching messages on Christmas, and rightly so. When you stop and think about it, Easter, well, what about the Easter season? This is certainly the Easter season. So I want to bring a message this morning. You'll find in Luke chapter number 24. And let me go ahead and take the opportunity to read the first three verses of this chapter. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." Could we pray? Father, thank you today for the opportunity this morning to be in this service. We pray your blessings now upon the reading and then the preaching of the Word of God. We pray your blessings upon all of those upon our prayer list this morning, thinking, of course, of Sister Darla and, Lord, all the others whom we've been praying for. We ask you, Lord, to just bless and give your healing touch, your comforting touch, your blessings upon their lives. Now, Lord, would you meet with us this morning and encourage us all as we consider this wonderful time of the year and what it commemorates. We ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I botched up a name. I said, I meant to say Janet. Sister Janet. You didn't mind me calling you Brenda anyway, did you? You know, I recently saw a sign on a window. And, of course, we see signs such as this quite often. Simply said, "Open for business." And I was thinking that there's something in that message or something in that thought that I think would apply to Easter, this time of the year. Now, I've read a passage of Scripture here which has to do with a woman coming to the tomb on Easter Sunday, planning on anointing the body of Christ. Of course, you all know he wasn't there, and we can thank God he wasn't. But anyway, they came prepared, bringing the spices, planning on anointing his body, but Jesus obviously was not there. You know, that particular sign that I alluded to a little bit earlier, in my mind I can somewhat see that sign as well when it comes to the resurrection of Christ. It's kind of like you see the sign "open for business." And I thought, I see some application in that. Open for business. Could you imagine what would have been the repercussions for eternity if Christ was not risen? But now, thank God, because they found not his body, then we can say open for business. The work of God continues on and so forth, and I'm going to touch about that this morning. But open for business. You know, the state of North Carolina, our own beloved state, we think of the textile industry. We think of how it took a hit. And back there several years ago, we know because of outsourcing and so forth that the textile industry primarily left this state as far as the way it had been really rolling at one time. We think of Cannon Mills. In 1906, J.W. Cannon purchased some land in Kannapolis, which is now called Kannapolis. And 808 acres of farmland, actually, between Salisbury and Charlotte, and established a great business that went on for several years. But 1984, Kannapolis as a city was incorporated. with an estimated 30,000 people at one time were employees of Cannon Mills. Later on, of course, the business began to exchange hands. We know that it later on became Fieldcrest Mills in Eden, North Carolina. And then in 1986, it became Pilotex. Pilotex filed for a bankruptcy protection in 2000 because, of course, of the textile, of the export of the textile jobs being outsourced overseas. In 2003, the business closed. It closed. Kannapolis lost 4,340 jobs in one day layoff, which was the biggest layoff in North Carolina history. I said 4,340 jobs lost in one day. Now let's transition our thoughts this morning back to this passage of Scripture. We preachers are always delighted Christmas season, Easter season, to bring messages on the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. But now, the thought that I can see here, which I want to convey this morning by the help of the Spirit of God, we think of this account. We know when Christ was crucified. We know, of course, that he was buried. And we know that there was a lot of unbelief floating around on the part of even his disciples. We know many people had the feeling of defeat. In fact, the women came to anoint his body. There was a feeling of defeat. There was a disbelief in his resurrection. Many were believing that hope was banished. His work was cut short. His work was defeated, and we might say business was closed. That was kind of the attitude on the part of many people guilty of unbelief. So now, we think of that. And there's, of course, indications of that truth as far as the feeling of unbelief on the part of many people. I think of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. You can remember the conversation that they were having. And Jesus joined himself to them. And he began to talk with them, the risen Lord, beginning to talk with those Emmaus disciples. And one of them made this statement. They said, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." That was the actual statement that was made by one of those disciples. "We trusted that it would have been him." Well, thank God it was him. But you see, unbelief barred them from seeing that. And Jesus basically informed them, "Everything's okay. I'm risen, as you can see. The scriptures are fulfilled. Everything's fine. The work's going strong." In fact, in so many words, I can hear him saying, "Business is booming like never before." And that is a fact. Business is booming like never before. Interestingly enough, the one who is the door walked out of the door of the tomb. And by the way, he is the door, as well as many other titles we could find. And he walked out of the tomb. He walked out of the doorway of the tomb. The door was opened to him. Now we know this. We know that he would have come out anyway. He didn't need the angels to remove the stone out of the way. Being God, he would have come out anyway, because that's what God was scheduled to do. David had even said in the book of Psalms, chapter 16, verse number 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." So actually, what we have here is a fulfillment of the words of even the psalmist David when he spoke those words hundreds of years before the resurrection of Christ. May I say this morning that Easter Sunday celebrates the grand opening, if I can put it that way. It celebrates the grand opening. God's saving business is booming. It's booming. And in fact, every one of you this morning that I'm looking at in this service today that's been saved by the grace of God, you're exhibit number A. You're exhibit A, rather, that the saving business of God is booming. No telling how many people this morning are watching this service online. And many of those dear people have been saved likewise by God's grace. Well, let me say, business is booming. He came out of the tomb, and every child of God is exhibit A on the fact that God's work is sufficient. Because, and I've got three simple points this morning. Three simple points. Because Jesus walked through the tomb's door, there are three things I want to say. First of all, God's work is booming. Number two, nothing will stop His work. And number three, His work will be perfect. It'll be perfect. Let's go back now and begin with the first point. Because He walked through the door, the first thing I want to say today is simply this: God's work is booming. When we think of Cannon Mills, employing 30,000 people at that time in our own dear state, we say wow to that. That's amazing. 30,000 people in the workforce. But now what about God's booming business? What about the salvation industry, so to speak? What about the work of God? What about what God is doing? His work is booming. Now, you say, well, would you mind, preacher, giving me some examples for that? Well, you're sitting in an example right now. You're sitting in a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. And there are multitudes of churches just like this, spotted all around this country and across this world, that's saying God's business is working. Churches. What about the mission fields? All of the missionaries that this church supports, out of the many, many other missionaries, and all those mission letters that we constantly are reading of people that are being saved, of how people are being blessed on mission fields. It's letting us know that God's work is booming. He hasn't closed up shop. The work still goes on. It's still exciting to know what God is doing. What about this? What about the testimonies of persecuted Christians around this world that are still sticking to the stuff and are still serving God in spite of all the obstacles against them? What about those in some of the countries like Indonesia, some of those countries? Well, I mean, you get into trouble in a hurry if they even find you with a Bible. And as we sit here in our comfortable building this morning, we have no idea of how many Christians are being persecuted and suffering even to physical death. But you know what, though? That says something. That says that God's work is booming. Because people still have got the courage to stand. There's still a testimony for Jesus Christ. It's still proving that there's got to be something beyond human ingenuity and creativity. An ambition. There's got to be something beyond that is causing people to stand for God in difficult circumstances. God's work is booming. By the way, what we see in the Bible Belt doesn't tell the whole story. Doesn't tell the whole story. We may visit churches in North Carolina, and I've been in a lot of them since I retired. Sometimes you are somewhat grieved, because it seems like we're wondering why more people aren't serving God and interested in the cause of Christ. But the good rule of thumb is this: we can't judge all of God's work on the basis of what we see in a few southern states. We'd be surprised today to know, in spite of what we see, many people are still being saved. God's work is still flourishing, still going on. And by the way, it has to. It has to. Because if I have the Bible, even partially, figure it out. It has to mean what it says and says what it means, but it lets us know that God is more powerful than the devil. And we know the devil has a great sway when it comes to what's happening negatively in this world, but still yet God, the one that's greater within us and he that's in the world, God is still on the throne and God is still blessing and his work goes on. God's business is booming. When Jesus walked out of the tomb that day, hell shuddered, but heaven rejoiced. When Jesus walked out of the tomb that day, it was somewhat like a wedding. You have a couple standing at an altar before a preacher, and the preacher's getting ready to have them to announce, make known, repeat the vows. And he will ask them to join hands. The joining of hands. When that young couple joins hands, they're basically symbolizing their coming together as one. Their lives are being merged. Well, here's what I want to say. When Jesus walked out of the tomb that day, when he came through the door, it was like a joining of hands. I see prophecy joining hands with fulfillment. I see the words of the prophets coming together. I see everything that Isaiah, everything that the psalmist, all of what the prophets have said concerning the fact of his death and his resurrection, I see him joining hands now with fulfillment. It comes together. When he walked out of the tomb that day, "It is finished," was joined with living proof. He said, "It's finished. We have living proof." Because he shows up in that doorway, so to speak. Because Jesus walked out, we have a message to preach. Gospel preachers have a message to preach. Because he walked out, we have a Bible that we can trust. That means that this is the inerrant Word of God. That means that this is the Holy Scriptures. That means that this book is inspired. If he had not have walked out, we would not have an inspired book. Because it all ties together, the hands were joined. Because he walked out, we have a perfect plan of salvation. It's complete. Because he walked out, Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, has added power. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We have a power added to that verse because he walked out. Because Jesus walked out, the devil is defeated, death has lost its sting, and the people of God have a living hope because he walked out. Since Jesus walked out of the tomb's door, yes, business is booming. But I want to say secondly this morning, since he walked out of the door of that tomb, nothing will stop his work. Nothing will stop his work. In fact, not even physical death will stop it. Physical death won't stop it. We, sometimes, when we lose our loved ones, we grieve, obviously, and we weep bitter tears, and our hearts are broken. What an awful experience to have to follow the body of a precious loved one to a cemetery. But thank God, because he walked out of the tomb, we don't have to say, "I'll never see you again." We say, "I'll see you in the morning," because he walked out. We haven't said goodbye for the last time. We'll be saying hallelujah on Easter morning, won't we? Because he walked out. Nothing will stop his work. If Jesus had not walked out, there would have been some awful reverberations, consequences, if he had not walked out. If Jesus had not have walked out of that tomb's door that morning, Death would have had an endless celebration. An endless celebration. And death would keep the dead. The bodies would remain there. If Jesus had not walked out of that tomb, you can take all of the foul philosophies and godless religions, philosophies, you could put them all together and you could say they're legitimate if Jesus had not have walked out. For example, atheism, evolution, Marxism, communism, humanism would be worth attention if Jesus had not have walked out. If he had not walked out, then we may as well just eat, drink, and be merry. We may as well just live it up. We may as well just let our hair down. That is, if we have any hair to let down. If Jesus would not have walked out, we may as well just totally double down on worldly philosophy. Just do what you want to do, say what you want to say, live how you want to live, because there's no accountability if Jesus had not have walked out. If he had not have walked out, he would not be God, and Calvary would be the biggest failure that ever took place if Jesus had not walked out that day. If he had not walked out, the business window of God's redemptive plans would have the word closed for lack of means. If he had not walked out, he could not have paid sin debt. He could not have took care of the iniquity of mankind. He could not have done away with that sin issue if he had not have walked out. You and I this morning would be bearing the full brunt of our sin. We'd be under full condemnation. We cannot be saying, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. If Jesus had not have walked out. Closed for lack of means. If he had not come out of that tomb that morning, a padlock, so to speak, would be on the door of redemption. No one could ever get in. Graveyards, thank God, because he did walk out, will one day be robbed of their bodies. One day, you're talking about a body snatcher. I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to be the body snatcher. Because the saints of God are going out of this mess. Because he walked out, sunrise is coming. I think of the precious verses that we preachers will preach at funeral services, and we will cite them in the cemeteries. And oh my soul, what a blessing they are, because we know the full story. Paul said, I think of you, said, I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He's buried and he rose again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Because he walked out, we can quote that passage with a smile on our face, with joy in our souls, because we know it's going to happen. I think of what he said. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Because he walked out, death will be swallowed up in victory. Because he walked out. Thank God he's coming back. He not only walked out, but he's coming back. It's just as positive his coming back as him walking out. If I can put it like that. No wonder Paul could say, comfort one another with these words. Because he walked out of the empty tomb. Comfort one another with these words. I can stand here this morning and say to you folks, and I don't have to say it, you already know it. If we start talking about this world, if we deal with the Middle East right now, and the thousands and thousands of armaments involved, of the weaponry used, of the bombs that are falling upon the country of Iran. We think of the devastation. It's sad, isn't it? It's not a good thought to know of the war that's going on. We could talk about these bodies of ours, how we've all got sicknesses and illnesses, and there's a prayer list here that's reflecting that. There's not a whole lot of positive stuff in this world. But thank God we can comfort one another with these words, though, can't we? Because He walked out. I can tell you this morning with a smile on my face, it's going to get better. I can tell you there's coming a time there won't be any prayer list like we've heard here this morning, because everybody will have a perfect health. Couldn't you see it now in the millennium? Pray for my uncle. Pray for my mother. They just celebrated their 900th birthday. They feel better than ever. Pray for my mom and dad. The last time I saw them, they were skipping across Hallelujah Boulevard, having the time of their life. Would you please pray for them? They need to slow down. They're liable to work themselves to death. Well, that couldn't happen, of course. No, there will not be prayer lists such as that, such as we have now, because Jesus walked out. Death is swallowed up in victory. We could all actually stare towards our cemetery at this point in time and just smile. Just smile. And one day we're going to be saying, I told you so, when He comes back. Now, thirdly, this morning, because He walked out, His work will be complete. It'll be perfect. Let me give you a verse. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. His work is complete. I'm blessed every time I read that passage in the Old Testament about the potter and the clay. I think of the heavenly potter. I think of God the heavenly potter taking an old piece of raw clay when He saves a sinner, reaches down in the muck and the mire of the clay and dirt of sin. And He takes a piece of clay in His hand. He saves an old sinner. He puts us during our time upon this earth in the heated kilns. We go through suffering. We go through bodily affliction. We're put through the wringer. We deal with so much stuff down here. He's putting us through the kiln. But guess what? The heavenly potter knows what He's doing. He's working us the way He needs to work us. He's getting us ready for the big one. He's taking the tribulations and the trials and the tears and the heartaches and the pain, and He's somehow working it in the only way the heavenly potter can do. He's plugging all of those things in the Romans 8:28 passage of Scripture. We're in the kiln. The heat of the desert. The suffering's down here. But my friend, one of these days, the heavenly potter is going to take the clay out of the kiln. Oh, He does that when we die as a Christian anyway. But He's going to take us out. And I believe this. I believe that He's going to shine us up. He's going to take that clay, just like that beautiful piece of pottery. He'll shine us up. He'll put us on display, so to speak. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, because Jesus walked out. We haven't seen the best of it yet. We're only living on this side of heaven. But wait till we get on the other side. But by the way, it is a comforting thought to know we are on this side of heaven. Just a matter of crossing over. But you see, He has great plans for His work. Jesus, as we know, is the first fruits anyway. He's the first fruits. And because He walked out of the tomb, Because he went through the door, he's coming back to finish up on his work. He'll polish the clay. He'll make it a glorified body. These old, weak, tired bodies of ours, and by the way, have y'all noticing when I walk up that little platform there, I'm sure glad. Brother Bruce, please keep it just one step coming up, would you please? If there's any more than one, you probably notice I don't come up as quick as I did 27 years ago. I don't come up quite. In fact, you probably notice I grabbed that over there. You know why? Because I'm getting older. But don't you all say a word. So are you. But it's going to get better. We're going to have a glorified body. One of these days, of course it won't happen. Say if I was in the back seat of this church and the preacher said, you want to come up and say a message? I wouldn't hobble up here. I'd take one spring and I'd be up here. Have a new body, you see. So because he walked out. It's going to get better. It's going to be perfect because his business is booming. And every piece of clay that he has taken out of the muck and mire, he's going to clean it up and make it spotless. His work will be perfect. Don't you love springtime? I sure do. Now, you, like I said in the opening this morning, you can keep the pollen, but I sure do love springtime. Winter's over. The earth is warming up. And aren't you glad? You know, it's almost like springtime. It's almost like the flowers are saying, it's time to bloom. It's almost like the birds are saying, it's time to sing. It's almost like the earth is saying, it's time to get warm. It's almost like the grass is saying, it's time to grow. And I could go somewhere with that, but I won't. But let me tell you something. We're closer than ever to a miraculous phenomenon that will take place in cemeteries around this world. Closer than ever. I believe we're closer than ever to the graves of the saints of God being shocked and releasing the grip on the body. We're closer than ever. Someone wrote, death in vain forbids his rise. Christ has opened paradise. Lives again our glorious King, where old death is now thy sting. Once he died our souls to save, where is thy victory, boasting grave? Well, Jesus, the door, walked out of the door of that tomb that morning. God's business is booming. Now my question, are you one of his employees? Are you in his labor force? This business that we talked about this morning, are you in God's labor force? In other words, plainly put, are you saved? Are you born again? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Have you been washed in the blood? I've noticed this. Christmas time, Easter time, especially when we have our Christmas cantatas and children's plays and all that, everybody gets excited. You don't have a whole lot of trouble getting people to attend church when it comes to Christmas program. And I suspect, Brother Bruce, Easter Sunday, 2 weeks from today, you'll have a good attendance here at Smith Grove Baptist Church on Easter Sunday. Because people enjoy Christmas, Easter, and sometimes Easter Sunday. You know, people that haven't been to church all year, they'll scrounge up, put on a Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, and they'll show up. I used to love it when ladies used to wear bonnets to church on Christmas Eve or Easter Sunday, I'd say. But anyway, people show up. But here's the point I want to make this morning. It's good to acknowledge those precious seasons and those times of the year. But have you ever stopped, took notice of your life, and acknowledge the significance? In other words, do you know the Christ of Christmas? Do you know the Christ of Easter? Do you know the one that was born in a manger and died upon the cross and walked out of the tomb? Do you know him? It's good to be in a service where we honor those occasions. But do you know the one that the occasion is all about? Are you a part of His employment? Do you know Him? And then I would ask Christians this morning in closing, how's your work record? How's your work record? What are we doing for our Lord? In light of all that He's done for us, are we giving Him our best? Are we faithful to His dear cause? Are we supportive of what He supports? Do we love what He loves? Do we love His people? Do we support His work? How is our work record? Then I have another thought this morning. Too many of professing Christians are walking around like Jesus didn't walk out of the door of that tomb. They're walking around with giving the impression that God is dead, not alive. I'll tell you this morning, I don't care how much we might hurt and how much we might be going through, we still have every cause to smile, to rejoice, because Jesus walked out of that tomb. And because He did, those dear folks over there that we love and we know, and many of them in our families, they're coming out of that grave one day because He walked out. So His empty tomb sends the message open for business. Open for business. And His work will go on, and no one will stop it. It'll go on. Let's pray. Father, I come to You in prayer this morning. And Lord, I pray the Spirit of God would see fit to honor these practical truths from the precious Word of God to remind us all today that because Jesus walked out of the door of that tomb on Easter Sunday, then, Lord, there's hope today in this world. Sinners can be saved, and Christians can live in victory. Dear Lord, if there's anyone today that's right now not a part of His labor force, never been saved, not in His business, not involved in His business, I pray they get saved today, realizing because Jesus walked out of that tomb, then that means that not only the people of God have something glorious to look forward to, but sinners will also be judged. So people need to be saved. Father, today if there's Christians in this building that might be conveying more than they should, gloom and doom and the lack of victory, may they be reminded today that it's victory in Jesus because of the victory He secured over the tomb that day. So bless the invitation that there are people that just need to come. And Lord, just talk to Jesus. Talk to the Lord today. Would You please meet needs today? If there's anybody here without Christ, may they get saved. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.